Hi, this is Alina and Megan, and you're listening to Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, where we dive into all things health, wellness, and fitness.
We are two certified athletic trainers, personal trainers, and nutrition coaches who met and graduated together from the University of Arkansas. And we want to do this podcast to spread our joy about treating our bodies well through nutrition, exercise, and knowledge.
Brain Move Your Body podcast, we are very excited to welcome Ryan Blazer from Test My Home. He is an Idaho native and he has a 25-year career as an electrical engineer who specializes in health hazards in the environment. He has a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering and he has so many different certifications. I'll read a couple. Some of these are electromagnetic radiation specialist, building biology environmental consultant, Alliance acoustic calibrator, and SKM Power Tools, which is an electrical engineering software. His path to learning led him to explore how our environment plays a role in health and well-being of our bodies. And now his work is really at the forefront of the industry. He takes time going into people's homes, teaching them about the toxins in their environment, and helping them clean up their home and their lifestyle and their workplace as well. This podcast was wonderful. Ryan told us and explained to us so much about what he does on a daily basis, but also just enlightened us with information about take-home points of things we can do in our own homes to make our lives healthier and cleaner. We absolutely love chatting with him. He was a pleasure to have on this podcast, and we know that our listeners are going to enjoy it. Okay, so today on Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, we are very excited to have Ryan here from Test My Home. Now, I saw, and I told you a little bit before this, but I saw you on Carly Loves Kale on a story she did on Instagram, a very long story, and you were so thorough and so awesome. I contacted you guys immediately. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
So I'm a building biologist, also electromagnetic engineer, and I've been working in the environmental field, environmental toxicology, environmental stimulation for about 20 years now. All different fields from mold, air quality, EMF, chemical usage, sound, light, vibration, basically anything in the environment that could cause any kind of harm or health problems or environmental stressors, which, you know, can lead to a whole range of other issues and can be one of the things that are keeping you from achieving optimal health. And so we created this company, me and my wife, about 3.5 years ago. And we're currently now expanded into 4 different states, Idaho, Utah, Arizona, and California.
Awesome. That's so awesome. So let's just get right into it. Let's talk a little bit about things you just mentioned, like mold, and maybe how do you test for it? And what have people maybe come to you with?
Why is it a problem? Would probably be a good place to
that's
start.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, mold can wreak all kinds of havoc on people. I think it's one of the most underestimated problems medically of our time right now. And so, when we go into homes, mold has got a lot of big misconceptions about it. There's a lot of misinformation about it. There's, your common mold on cheese and bread, and there's your very dangerous mold, the Stachybotrys, which can cause serious issues with people. So we go in and do a range of air testing. We do sampling on the surfaces to see if there's any subtle dust. We can do ERMI testing. We test for mycotoxins. We have the mold itself growing, maybe behind the cabinet or somewhere in the bathroom. But what's the most concern is the biotoxins that are coming off of the mold. And that's what's floating through the air, getting into our clothing, into the carpet, into the dust. And we breathe that in or we ingest that, causes a whole range of issues.
So is this like a new thing? Like, has it been around forever or is it like more of a modern lifestyle issue? Like what does it do to us, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, mold itself has been around for ages, forever, as long as the planet's been around. This just recently when we make these airtight homes and we don't get any ventilation inside. And so when these little mold sources are like factories putting off pollution and they're polluting into the house and we're not airing that out. We're not getting fresh air and we're not filtering that out. And so those toxins start to build up. Then we get them inside of our body. You know, and you ask, what does mold do to us? That really depends on the person, what the person's weakest link is. The mold spores themselves can have allergic type responses, stuffy nose, runny nose, allergies, watering eyes, breathing issues, asthma. But then we get into the mycotoxins, and that's the chemical that the mold is putting off as its defense mechanism. That can be a whole range of neurological issues, headache, depression, fatigue, anxiety. You can even get digestional problems, skin problems. The list kind of goes on and on with mold just because it attacks us. Mold's designed to break down things on the planet. That's what it was put here on the earth for, is to break stuff down. And so when we get mold inside of us, it tries to do that same thing. It tries to break us down.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I'm originally from New York, and I grew up thinking that that was normal, like black mold specifically. Being in New York, all the houses are much older, and a lot of our listeners are actually from New York too. But maybe can you talk about how difference of houses, or like even where the houses are located, and how that can affect some people?
Sure. Yeah. Depending on what climate zone you're in, you know, if you're in Florida or somewhere where there's a ton of humidity all the time, you're going to have a lot bigger issue with mold than versus, say, in the desert, maybe Phoenix, for example,
right,
where it's really hot and dry all the time. But just because you live in the desert doesn't mean you're immune from mold. We still have leaks that come from the roof when the monsoons come, or from your air conditioner getting plugged and the drain line leaking into the attic, or a leaky pipe, or even up where I'm at, up in Idaho right now, we have condensation in the wintertime, and we have spring runoff that's occurring right now. So a lot of people's crawl spaces and basements are getting filled with water right now, maybe not completely full, but water's running into it, soaking the walls, making things really wet. We're going to have a ton of mold growth because of that. So just because you're in one location or another doesn't really mean that you're going to have more mold versus other places.
Interesting. That's really interesting. And like, I even think about myself, like in an apartment complex, like I'm sure that must be really difficult. Like just because there's hundreds of other people around me, so I can only control my own place.
And the problem with that is, you know, say your neighbor's toilet overflows and they don't want to get in trouble, so they don't report that. Now you have water leaking through the walls and the ceilings, and you could have mold growing in between you guys, and it's going to get in and affect your building, and you had no idea that a flood even occurred.
Yeah, that's really interesting. We've had other people on here, Emily Kybert, who herself, she dealt with some mold stuff, and I've talked to her about like this eczema can be huge for it, or hormonal dysfunction. Those are also like big with mold. And we're going to eventually have a mold expert come on here and just specifically talk about that. Mm-hmm. But I guess let's talk also about EMFs, because I don't think people really know how that can affect us. So if you could enlighten us a little bit.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the second biggest cause of health issues that's underestimated. It's also one of the most controversial. You got people to say, oh, there's nothing wrong with EMF. It doesn't hurt you. It's not dangerous. And then you have other people on the other end of the spectrum that can't even be around cell phones and technology without getting really sick. And it's a very real thing. We deal with those people all the time. The FCC has set limits to where they know that past certain points, you're going to start cooking from the inside out. You're going to start heating and having thermal effects. And that's maybe at the 2.5 million microwatt range. So it's not really debatable about if EMFs are dangerous or not. More of the debate is at what level, mm-hmm. what distance, and what time frame. So how long am I exposed? If I'm sitting on my laptop for 8 hours, how do I feel at the end of the day versus when I'm sitting on the beach for 8 hours? Is there a difference there? And is it just because I'm on the beach, or is it because I'm exposed to these high level electronics overall? And then we got this low end spectrum where we have doctors and scientists that have done a lot of studies. And there are thousands of studies on this stuff that say, you know, below 10 when you're awake and below 1 microwatt when you're sleeping is really ideal for health. So that leaves a broad range in the middle that's pretty open for debate. And that's why things can get so confusing. Is that middle spectrum. So you can kind of treat it like a cigarette. So it is a class 2B carcinogen by the World Health Organization. And so treat it like you would lead poisoning or cigarettes, where you'd say, okay, maybe I could smoke a pack a day for 20 years and I'm going to be fine. But do you want to risk that? You know, or you could say, oh, I'm just going to smoke a cigarette every now and then. it's totally up to you of how much exposure you want to put to yourself. But to think that EMFs are not doing you harm would be, you'd be gravely mistaken going down that road.
That's super interesting, because I know there are a lot of people that actually, you know, sometimes people rather think like, oh, out of mind, like out of sight, out of mind, that's the thing. But I know in the last 2 years, I've gotten much more interested in this. Is there a way for people to test EMFs accurately in their own house? Let's say they don't have access to you.
Yeah, there's definitely some meters you can buy. You know, we have links to them on our website. A really good one that's common right now is the Safe and Sound Pro. It measures radio frequency, and it's for all the energy coming off of the wireless devices that are coming through your house. But one thing that you can do to test if you're sensitive yourself is to remove yourself and put yourself in an environment where there is no EMFs. So out on the beach, or go up hiking, or go camping, or if you can get out in the mountains, anywhere where you can get away. In New York, it's probably, you got to travel pretty far probably to get something like that.
Not in Idaho. Easy in Idaho.
Pretty easy here. But that's what I always tell my clients here, is if they're always wondering, well, how much is it really affecting me? All right, well, go up camping for a while, but don't bring your iPad, don't bring your AirPods, don't bring your cell phone. Leave that stuff in the car and truly unplug and see how your body reacts. If you start feeling better, if your brain fog starts going away, if you start sleeping better, you become less irritable, then you want to circle back and say, okay, how can we emulate this in my everyday life? How can we reduce these levels? Because that's causing a lot of these issues of people.
Yeah, that's so interesting. The EMF, it's just, it's something that people are talking about more. And I think people are making more profit off of like those EMF, like blankets or whatever they have. And I don't know, it's, you know, people like me are looking, it comes up on Instagram and I'm like, I don't know, while I'm getting more EMFs by looking at my Instagram. I don't know if this is this actually working? There are definitely pieces of like sacred geometry on it. How do we know? Or even things like this I have right here, like this is shungite and organite, I think, and it's just a crystal, but do we know? Well,
let's start with the shungite and organite, that thing you have there. So studies have shown they will actually absorb a little bit of EMF. And so if the EMF hits it, it will absorb EMF in that location. The problem with putting that on your desk as a device to lower the EMF exposure, it would be kind of like saying, okay, we know sponges will absorb water, so let's go ahead and tape a sponge to your back and now you can go swimming and you're not going to get wet. So that's kind of the analogy, because EMFs are all around us. They come from every direction. We're immersed with EMFs from every direction. So to have a device that's absorbing something on the desk will do, you would have to have a full suit of that for it to have any measurable effect on your body, unfortunately. And so a lot of these other devices, you need to be really careful about if they claim to harmonize or mitigate or reduce EMF by plugging it in, or the stickers or the pendants. I'd say 95% of those things are scams. They just, the physics behind it, it doesn't work. If you're in the shower and you want to dry off, you need to turn off the shower, or you need to step out of the shower. You can't, you know, you can put a raincoat on, and that's going to help a little bit. And that would be like some of these shielding materials, some of these shielding blankets. But as far as the harmonizers, the stickers, the pendants, just stay away from those.
It's really interesting. That is not what Instagram ads tells you.
No, because like you said, they're making a ton of money off.
Yeah,
of
that. They are.
And if I was dishonest, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now. I'd be down in Mexico on a beach somewhere, because you can make a lot of money off of that stuff.
Without EMFs though. I actually had a question, because I always like to like really understand things because of what Alina just said. Like, yeah, okay, there's a way to make money. So of course people are going to latch onto it and like make a profit based on this. So I'm always very critical of everything. So how do we know that I don't just feel like wound up and like my head hurts at the end of the day because I was staring at something small, whether or not that is like, you know, my cell phone with EMFs emitting from it, or if it's something else. Like, I don't know if a Kindle that's like not on the internet would be emitting EMFs. I mean, I really don't know much about this at all. So I just want to understand it a little bit better, because my mom is very much, I don't want to say EMF phobic, but she is very aware of this. And like, I just, partially it's because like my mom talks about it all the time. So I'm like, oh yeah, whatever, mom. But I want to understand it a little bit better. So can you explain to maybe our more critical listeners, how we know that it is the EMFs that are making us perhaps feel poorly rather than just like being stressed about work or whatever?
Yeah. Think about it like you would do an elimination diet with food. How do we want to know if a food is affecting us? We take ourselves away from the food, or we eliminate that from our diet. So kind of like I was talking about earlier, where if you can get up into the mountains, or if you can get away from these EMFs and see how your body reacts, eliminate it from the exposure. That's really the best way to kind of train your brain and tell yourself, yeah, it actually is this that's doing it. Because we know from science that it's not good for us, and it's harming us, and it is ultimately causing cancer and inflammation and a whole range of issues. But how do we tell our brains that so that we can actually take action and turn these devices off? And that really is to get away from the devices, get away from the sources, and put yourself in an environment that is electrically clean, and try to keep all the other things in your life the same. Keep the same diet, stress levels, working out, fitness, keep all those things the same, but only take away all the electronics. Mm-hmm. And I try to talk about doing a digital detox weekend, even in your own home, where you turn off all the power, unplug all your devices, turn your cell phone off. And it's almost like you're camping in your house. So if you can do that for 48 hours, you're going to notice a difference. And when you notice that difference and you say, wow, I actually slept better last night, I remembered my dreams, I woke up feeling more rested, the inflammation is down, the brain fog's going away, and you like how that feels, then you want to keep going down that path.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. As you were saying that, I was just thinking about it. I'm Jewish. So with Judaism, Orthodox Jews or even conservative tend to always, they've been doing this for millennia or whatever, since we had electronics, they shut off the lights, they shut off the TV, they unplug things every single Friday night going into Saturday. And I have one client that does this, and she always says how relaxed she is over the weekend. And yes, maybe it's a weekend, but also I have always wondered about that. So that's kind of interesting. And I have a question to go off of it. If you just shut off your devices, so let's say my TV, do I have to unplug it, or can I just shut it off to do something like this?
So TV is a good example. It actually stays connected to your Wi-Fi so that when you turn the power back on, you're instantly connected. It doesn't take a minute or two to dial in. So that situation, you actually need to unplug it. But just to be safe, if you really want to dive in deep with a digital detox weekend, is go out to your circuit panel and just flip the breakers off. Just kill all the power to your whole house. Get the candles out, have fun with it, you know, get some hot dogs and just sleeping bags, healthy hot dogs, though, organic ones.
There are organic hot dogs. That's a thing.
And they're probably not any healthier. They're just slightly more healthy, maybe.
Maybe a bad example with the hot dogs, but just pretend like you're camping in your house.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So if you live in an apartment complex, you can't really do that. It'd be better to, because it wouldn't totally matter. It might help, but there's somebody next door. There's somebody all over. So you're not in the best place to do, or not even in a complex. Like, what if you live in Brooklyn or Manhattan? Those options are a little more limited, but this is just something to think about.
Yeah, no, you're right. You have to plan it out a little bit more, because if you're in an apartment or a building where you're surrounded by your neighbors, you're at the mercy of all their devices. So you're never going to be able to get away from it truly.
That's very interesting. So for some people that live in, it really depends a lot on where you live with the EMFs.
It does. Yep. And that's why one reason that people don't really put their finger on EMFs when it comes to health is because they never get away from the EMFs. So they're never able to tell the difference. Versus like food or working out, like, okay, I go to the gym 3 days, I feel great. I took a week off, I'm starting to feel horrible again. There's that contrast, that difference. Or with food, where, oh, I eat gluten and now I feel like crap. When I don't eat gluten, I feel good. The problem with the EMF is you always have the cell phone on. You're always got a cell tower down the road. There's always going to be the neighbors with Wi-Fi. There's electronics, electricity, lamps. There's always going to be electronics, unless you're more nature-minded, unless you're going out to the lake or going out on the ocean and surfing and camping all the time. Other than that, you really rarely get, even those people always usually have their cell phone on them.
Yeah.
So it's very rare that you're actually stepping away from these electronic devices enough to get a noticeable difference.
Yeah. Well, we have property in, I don't know if you're familiar with like Orofino area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have property there and we do not have good service. So it doesn't matter if you want to have your phone or not, because it's not going to work.
That's so great. Yeah. My wife's family's from up there, Kamiai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we just got back from up there and it was just like an unplugged session. Just, you just leave your phone off. You don't even, because there's no service there. So why even bother?
Yeah. Okay. I used to go on like backpacking trips, like week-long backpacking trips with my dad. And the first, like as a 16-year-old, you know, the first day you're like, oh my God, I need my phone. But then after that, like you feel so good afterwards. And then coming back to like normal civilization, I remember just getting more, I felt immediately stressed. And maybe it was influx of just like things to respond to. Maybe it was EMF, maybe it was a combination of both. But I know that I personally feel better at like when I'm outside, which is why for me personally, it's so important to live somewhere where I can be outside. But I know that's not reality for everybody, but
it's hard because I know what it's like to live in New York or in Brooklyn and also love that atmosphere. But I also know what it's like now to live in a place where it's not as, you know, filled with EMFs, but some people would want to live there. So I think it's just something to know about, but we can also talk about so many other things you do, because it's not just the EMFs and the mold, but I know those are like the big ones, but, let's also talk about water and air, because especially air with COVID the last 2 years, I think it's a great topic to discuss. And water is something that I've recently thought a lot about as well. So whichever one you want to do first, it's like we're going into the different elements. Like,
I love it. It's so important because it is a lot of different elements, you know, and a lot of times it's not just one single thing. It's not just EMF. It's not just mold or air, or even nutrition or fitness or stress or the supplements you're taking. It's everything. You got to look at the big picture, because it's not just one. A lot of times people come to me and say, well, I got this one thing, you know, I'm really sick. What is it? Figure it out. You know, it's not just one thing. It's a combination of a lot of things. And we got to look at everything from a big picture. So it is important to look at everything. So water is a good one, because we all drink it. We're made up of water. We need it to stay alive. And so it's important to put clean, fresh water into our body. Now, there's a lot of talk, you know, if it's too pure, it can be leaching, it can leach minerals from your body. But, you know, I've talked with different doctors about this. And I think as long as you're eating a good, healthy diet and taking supplements, you're going to be fine. You're going to have plenty of nutrients and minerals in your body. I wouldn't worry about leaching from your body. I would be more concerned about putting pure water in your body as I would from leaching. So using a good purification system, and depending on where you are on this globe, just in general, it's important to test the water and see what you're working with. Test it first, see what chemicals, see what minerals, bacteria you have in the water. And then based off of that, you can design or create a filtration system that's going to fit your needs. So super important, drink healthy, clean water. I think that's a big one. But and also another thing that people don't really think about too, is you can absorb just as much toxins and minerals from taking a nice hot shower, from the steam that's coming off and breathing that in and soaking it through your skin. And also taking a nice warm bath and your pores are opening up and you're absorbing stuff in. So it's not just drinking, it's what we're bathing in and showering in as well.
So how do you know how bad your water is? Is there a website or is it just like you test? Okay.
On our website, if you go to our website and go to shop and then go to the water section, we have about 12 different levels of water test kits there. Whether your city or well or what exactly you're looking for, but you can test your water. They just, you order it, we send you the test kit, you fill it up with water, you send it directly to the lab, and you'll get the results back in about a week.
That's really great. It's, I think, good also for people wanting to buy homes to think about that. There are also a lot of different like water filters out there. So when I was living in Brooklyn, I purchased a water filter from a person who worked on Long Island. Long story short, I didn't stay in Brooklyn. The water filter is sitting downstairs of my mother's house. It is not being used. We tried to get it inside of her kitchen. But again, with that filter, I don't even know. I couldn't test water with or without the filter. So I don't know. Everybody in New York says that New Yorkers have the best water. I don't know if that's very true. They're water snobs over there. It's a thing. But the other thing I was going to say, it's the same, like if you're in a complex, it's hard to, like, I'm not going to put a filter really on this water. So a lot of people purchase Britas, and I've read about Britas. They're not that great. So maybe can you talk about like those known water filters like Berkeley or whatever, and which ones you suggest to people?
Yeah, you know, the basic one, Berkey and the Brita and all these, they're just going to have your basic small filters that's going to pull out some of the particles in the water. But it really comes down to what's in it. You know, for chemicals, you have to have activated charcoal to get most of that out. And depending on what type of mineral, how small or big it is, some stuff only will be removed from reverse osmosis. Some things you can remove from basic media filter. In our home, it runs through a media filter, then it goes through a soft water treatment, which pulls out a lot of minerals. Then we have an RO system. So by the end, it's pretty pure. And it just depends, again, on what's in your water. Some people's water that I test, it doesn't have that much stuff in it. Just basic, simple media filter does fine. Some people's water has a whole bunch of nasty stuff, and it's got a, sometimes we can do $5,000-$10,000 filtration system to get it to the point where we want it. So to think you're just going to pour it through the Brita filter and you're good to go, it's not that simple. There's a lot more to it. You got to figure out exactly what it is that you're trying to filter out.
Yeah, just really,
but it
really
is better than nothing. It is better than nothing, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want to discourage people using it. You know, if that's all you got, use it. Yeah.
I can't imagine that New York has great water if there's so many people there, but I don't really know how all that works.
I grew up hearing that New York has the best water, so we can drink tap water. That was the biggest thing. And it's like a myth, I think. I don't think that's really true.
I thought one of the bigger reasons that it is better, water is often bad, is because of all the stuff that we like end up putting into it. Is that not correct?
Well, that and the piping, the infrastructure that comes into the house, if it's going through lead old pipes, if you're in a part of town that was pre-1960s, 1970s, you better bet it probably has lead, even has asbestos lined in it. My uncle used to do waterline construction. He said there'd be times where they forget to cap an end and a skunk would run in there and they'd just cap it up anyways and flush it, and then every time they'd have to run a certain amount of chlorine through to sterilize, so at least it wouldn't get people sick. But you said there's all kinds of nasty stuff in the public systems.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That's disgusting.
It's definitely difficult, like hearing all this stuff, right? Because when you don't have that money to put towards it, this is like something that more privileged people can do when they purchase a house. Like I'm thinking about all this, like the future, if I buy a house, you're going to come and test my whole place before I buy the house. Right. But for people that don't have the option, I think what you said before, like just get, even if it's a cheaper water filter, it's better than nothing. So just things to think about.
And I think before this is over, we should go through like top 10 or 20 things that people can do right now, takeaway things that are free and easy and cheap that you can implement that's going to change the environment.
I think that would be great. Let's talk about air, and then let's talk about that, because that's like things, take home things.
And so air, just like water, extremely important. We breathe it in, we need it. And so we can break air down into several different categories. And if we look at gases from the air, so we can have VOCs and chemicals that are off-gassing from our furniture. So if we move into a brand new home, the paint, the formaldehydes, the carpet, the glues, the binders, all these things are putting off chemicals into the air. You know, there's over 80,000 known chemicals right now that we're using on this planet, and only a handful of those have been tested. And they only test them by themselves. They don't test them in conjunction with each other. So A plus B plus C by themselves might be separately, but you put them together and they're very toxic. For example, if you put bleach and ammonia together, it makes ammonium chloride, which can kill you. So these different chemicals haven't really been tested with each other. And now we're using them, we're buying them, we're putting them on our bodies. So extremely important, the off-gassing from this, to be aware of what we're using. Now there's a website called EWG, Environmental Working Group. Mm. You familiar with it yet? You can log on there and type a product in. It will tell you on a scale from 1 to 10 how healthy that product is. And I would challenge everyone listening to go into their house and go through all their products and put that in there and choose a number. Say, okay, everything 3 and higher, we're going to throw away, and we're going to keep 1s and 2s, or maybe 1s and 2s and 3s, and see how much stuff you actually end up getting rid of and how many things in your home are on the higher end, 6, 7, 8s, that are known cancer-causing agents that you're using regularly without thinking. And so that's going to be more the chemicals part of the air. And back into the gases, you know, gas leaks, natural gas. We did a home lately where she was complaining, the wife felt like she was walking through mud, serious fatigue, not feeling well at all. Well, come to find out, she had a pretty big gas leak in her crawl space, not enough that you could really smell it, but enough that it was seeping up through the house. And she was staying home where the husband and the kids were leaving to go to school and work, so they weren't as affected. And the more she stayed at her home, the more she got sick, the more she couldn't leave her home. But we found it was a $250 fix, and her health improved within a couple of weeks just because she was breathing in all these formaldehydes and heavy metals and toxins that were in the gas. So really important to keep your house ventilated, getting fresh air in your house as much as possible. You know, we test for CO2 levels. It's an indication of how much fresh air you have in the home, and especially with COVID, people staying in their house, working from home, kids at home. I was going and testing some of these homes and the CO2 levels were through the roof. Just really, really high. People were getting the fatigue and the headaches and the illness just because they weren't getting enough oxygen in their air. Wow. And then another part of the air quality is the particulates. So the particles we have in the air, and we talked about mold a little bit and mycotoxins, but we also have endotoxins that come off of the bacteria. We have allergens, we have dead skin cells, we have plastics breaking down from the foams and the fibers in our house. We have insect parts, insect feces, dust mites. All these things are collecting in the dust, building up, they're getting aerosolized, and then we breathe the stuff in and it's bioaccumulated inside of our body. So really important to have air filtration, keeping those air particles down.
But that's interesting.
Kind of the upper level view of air quality and the things that we're concerned about that we test for.
Yeah, but that was interesting story about that $250 fix. That was wild.
And she'd been dealing with that for almost 3 years. She went to 6 different doctors. She said she'd spent thousands and thousands and thousands of on doctor's bills and supplements trying to fix it. The whole time was just a little gas leak.
Wow. I'm not surprised, but I'm sad for her.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have so many stories like that. And it's crazy to think how many other people are dealing with the same thing and they're blaming it on something else. They think they have this serious illness, this serious chronic thing happening, which it is serious, but it's caused by something simple in their environment. It's not there's nothing wrong with their body. There's something wrong with the environment and their body is trying to tell them there's something wrong. It's like the check engine light is coming on. You know, there's something wrong.
Too familiar with that one.
Yeah.
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 Figure out the root cause, you know, what's causing this.
What's tough too is this stuff is talked about, but not nearly enough. Even with functional medicine practitioners, I don't think it's tested for as much as it should be. I think it should be screened a little bit deeper. So what you're doing is helping people screen it and come to that solution. And that's amazing. The EWG website also, I've heard about them and I've used them for like beauty products and skin products. And I don't know if that's something that you also have talked about, but there's chemicals in that stuff too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Personal care products. There's a lot of chemicals in that. You think just because we buy it at the store, it's safe. We can put it on us. It's not the case.
Yeah. Then it's pretty wild when you actually put in your products and you can see how much is in them. You also mentioned the VOCs. When I was looking for a new mattress earlier this year and furniture, I really was pretty diligent about the things I got because you can like limit it in other ways. So I don't know, just other things to think about. But yeah, let's talk about like what you were saying earlier, just the 10 different things, like take home things people can do.
I'd say the biggest thing that's going to help your home is to make sure you're getting fresh air in your home at least twice a day. So in the morning and in the evening, even if it's cold outside or hot, go around and open some doors and windows and flush out your home for at least 15 minutes. Because the air, we always think, oh, outside air is dirty, inside air is clean. It's actually quite opposite. The inside air is made up of outside air. So whatever's in the outside air is going to be in the inside air anyways. And so we're bringing that in. And now everything is off-gassing. All the particles are getting into the air. If we have a mold problem, endotoxin, plus we're breathing out carbon dioxide, all this is building up in the home. So it's really, really important to flush out the home at least twice a day. Start with fresh air. Now, the only time I wouldn't do this is if it's really deep in the fire season and it's really smoky outside, or if you live next to a pollution source. Maybe you have a factory down the road or airport or whatever. And in that case, it's good just to find a healthier environment, or you have to fall back on air filtration to help clean your air. But in most cases, if you look outside, it's a nice sunny day, it's blue sky, it looks great, open up doors and windows and really flush out your air. Probably the second biggest thing that I could say is keeping your house clean. This is something that doesn't take a lot of money. It does take a little bit of work though. And I would at least go through your home once a year and do a deep clean. When I mean deep clean, pull stuff out of the cabinets, wipe every surface down, put stuff back in. And if you want to make it so it's not as daunting, you know, once a month, pick a room. Say, okay, this Saturday, we're going to focus on the living room and we're going to wipe every surface, the baseboards, the windowsills, underneath the couch, underneath the cushions, and really go through and get all this stuff up. Because when we analyze dust, it's mostly dead skin cells, insect parts, insect feces, mold spores, pollen, fibrous particles, and formaldehydes and flame retardants. And so none of this stuff we want to have inside of our body, or we want to breathe it in. So simply cleaning up your house and getting rid of this stuff goes a long ways. And then another big one is taking your shoes off at the door. A lot of people don't think about this, but when we go through out in public, I think we go to the public bathroom, we walk in there and we have E. coli on the floor, human waste, and we have all their nasty cleaning products that we're using that gets on our shoes. Then we go out, fill up our car with gas, and we walk through the oil and the gasoline and diesel. All this gets on our shoes. And then we walk home and we walk in on the carpet and we kick our shoes up. All that stuff is getting tracked into our house. So year day in and day out, bringing this stuff into our home, we start accumulating all these toxins and nasty things in our home. So super, super important, especially if you have little ones at home that are crawling around on the floor and getting their hands and feet. It's so important to leave your shoes at the door. So though that's a really big one. And I know it's inconvenient, especially if you have guests over, but just make that a rule. I mean, you wouldn't smoke in someone's house. You know, why would you wear track toxins into the home as well?
It's not a problem for me. I hate shoes.
Yeah.
I take them off as soon as I can.
Yeah. What if you,
I feel like that's just like etiquette too, personally.
Some cultures too.
Oh yeah. Most Eastern cultures, like Asian cultures, they definitely no shoes in the house. It's a big deal.
Yeah. What about if you had shoes that were for the house?
No, yeah, that's great. As long as you're not tracking them in and out, as long as you're not taking inside shoes outside and walking around. Yeah. Another one, get rid of a lot of the plastics in the kitchen area if you can. If you can stick with stainless steel, with wood, with glass, Pyrex, those are the things you want to be cooking with. Those microplastics will end up in your system eventually. Just little nicks, and definitely no Teflon. Don't have any Teflon in your kitchen either. That's that nonstick coating that has the PFOAs. The forever chemicals, that stuff will really build up in your body.
That's so interesting. I'm assuming plastic water bottles too. Like I drink spring water. I rather drink that than tap water, but it comes in a plastic water bottle. So it's been sitting in that. So it's like, is it better? Is it not?
It's just one more little source. You know, I always look at things. Is it going to add years to my life or is it going to take years from my life? And I try to teach my kids that. And I always ask them, is the decisions you're making, is that adding to your life or is that taking away from your life? And some things take away a lot more and some things take away less. And so drinking out of a plastic water bottle might take a little bit away, but it's not like it's going to kill you overnight. There's a lot worse things you can do. Mm-hmm. And that brings up a good point too, is that a lot of this stuff, you don't want to stress out about it. So as I'm talking about all these things and you sit at home listening like, oh my gosh, I do half of this stuff. I'm killing my kids and we're going to die. Like, I don't want you to think like that at all.
Right.
I want you, these are things that we just want to work at. And we take one step at a time because stressing over this stuff can do much more damage than the actual thing itself in some cases. You know, I have clients call me up and they're so worried about the cell tower that's down the road. And I go, measuring, that's bad, but it's not near as bad as the stress you lay up at night thinking about this all the time.
Yeah.
Right. Agreed. You cannot control everything. And especially now, like we have so many people on this planet. So I feel like, just doing what you can, like being proactive about what you can be and like making changes where you can, that's where you're going to like win. If you try to change everything and you're trying to blame everything constantly on an outside source, like you're never going to be able to control everything. So you're literally fighting a losing battle if you're doing that. So it's a great takeaway.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, when it comes to the EMF, that's another thing that people can get really frustrated about is I like to talk about practical avoidance. If you're not using it, if you don't need it, then turn it off. So a good example is when you're sleeping at night. Do you need to have your internet on when you're sleeping? Do you need to have your cell phone on when you're sleeping? Now, some people do. Maybe some people work on call or they have kids away or whatever. That's fine. If that's the case, you can put across the room. But if you don't need these devices on, then unplug them. put them on a timer so that they automatically shut off at midnight, and then they kick back on at 7 a.m. And when you're done for the night with your phone, take your phone and put it on airplane mode and charge it somewhere else, so you don't have the habit of picking it up while you're laying in bed. And I know that's a hard one, even for me and myself. I just want to lay in bed and check your emails one last time, whatever. That's probably one of the worst things you can do, is not use that technology before bed. But if you're not using it, turn it off, unplug it, because it's surprising how many devices we have throughout our house that are just radiating energy. In fact, I'm staying at my friend's house right now, and they're hardwired, but they had their printer sitting right here next to me. I noticed it was on, so I just went and unplugged it real quick because no one's using it. They don't hardly use it. And so when they sit in here in their office and they think they're doing good because of the hardwire, but then they have the wireless printer that's still blasting them. So just think about what devices we have that are on, that are wireless, that are Wi-Fi connected, that are Bluetooth, that are blasting energy out all the time, that are causing little bits of harm to us that we can turn off when we don't need them.
That's really interesting. AirPods 2, I know like that's a new thing. And I did get like this paint that you put on your AirPods from this company that, again, who knows, but I've heard they're like 10 times worse than wearing earphones with the wires.
I'd say like a million times worse. Those things are pretty bad. So we did some testing with those AirPods with the shields that they put on them, and not, and they block it maybe like 2%, they'll lower the energy, not a whole lot. And the problem with some of these cases and blockers is that cell phones and other smart devices will vary their power depending on how far away it is from the source. And it does that to save battery power. So if I'm on my cell phone and we're way out in the boonies, or you're out in Orofino where you only have one bar, your cell phone is working extra hard to try to maintain its connection back to the tower. And it does that to save battery. So if you were right next to a cell tower, the cell phone doesn't have to work as hard and its signals are a lot less. But now you're starting to receive the energy from the cell tower. So there's kind of this sweet spot around 1 mile to where the cell phone energy starts to taper off and the cell tower energy kind of intersect each other.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. Is there a way to know where the cell towers even are in your location?
Yeah, it's hard. There's a website called antennasearch.com. So you just type in antenna search and you can put in your address and it'll show you where all the cell towers are around you. So if you're at home, at least you can identify. But if you're out driving around, it's kind of hard to know what cell towers close by.
That's interesting. All the websites and stuff, I'm just going to link in the show notes so that people can check them out. But I'm checking it out right now as we're talking, because I wanted to see. It's very interesting. Your information is so great. What you're doing is so awesome. You're helping a lot of people. So I had mentioned in the beginning, I saw you on Carly Loves Kale, and I'll link her page, her story. And I think she even saved it as a highlight. And it's you and maybe one of your colleagues going through her whole house and talking about every single little piece of her house. And I think maybe she was in Texas. I'm not totally sure, but
In Austin.
Yeah. So what you did was just really cool. And it blew my mind, because I think we need like more of you everywhere, all over this country, to help people with this, because people are struggling and this is so helpful. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
For what you do. Thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah. You know, I'm surprised there's not more people doing this, and I'm surprised this isn't more of a thing. As I was getting my education throughout my life and learning more about this stuff, I just found it fascinating how much little we don't know about this, how much I didn't know. And as I learned it, I had these so many aha moments, like, yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Why aren't we looking at things like this? Why aren't we using healthy products? Why aren't we filtering our water? Why aren't we lowering our technology usage and getting back to nature? Because these are the things that our bodies love. Our bodies love being around natural things and being in nature. And our world is so full of these synthetic products and synthetic things and synthetic lighting and chemicals and food and supplements and all these things that are unnatural. And we wonder why our bodies are so sick and why our bodies are pushing back.
Yeah.
Because we're not used to this stuff, you know?
I worry even more for because we were the last generation, the millennials were the last generation to not be around with the internet, the whole, we have not had cell phones our whole lives,
right.
Whereas 6-year-olds have cell phones now, or like, you know, you give your 3-year-old the iPad to make it happy or whatever. So it's interesting. Yep. It's interesting. It's, I feel like a lot of kids' development is going to be affected by like just what we've gone through over the last 2 years. And there's just so many crazy things that are confounding each other, but I feel like technology is a huge one. So
yeah, it is.
A lot of parts of it too. Like, yeah, the EMS, but also just in general, what they're doing on technology and the amount of hours they spend on it too.
Yeah. I just read a study that said we had just crossed a threshold where we're now spending more time looking into the screen than we are looking at the real world. So either our cell phones or TVs or computers or whatever it is, we're spending more time now doing that than we are looking at reality. And that's an average across the world, not just America. So I can only imagine America is probably a lot more like 80% of the time. Yeah. I mean, and think about it. How often are we looking at, I mean, I'm looking at one right now. I'm looking into the screen and on our phones and on the TVs and the computers. We're spending so much time in this world now, less than outside. That's kind of scary if you think about it, you know?
It's so scary. Oh, well, Lena works predominantly online with her clients, and then I'm in a hybrid DPT program. So like all of my classes are on a screen. So I make a point to like, after I've like watched my lectures for the first time, I will just like literally listen to them on my Bluetooth headphones. So not great, but I'll be outside with my dog, which is better. Like my eyes, my brain feels better when I'm outside moving. So, you know, like you were saying before, like control what you can control, you know, and there's, you know, I have to do this stuff to get my doctorate. So I'm going to do it. But I also am aware of like trying to get outside and like hike. I mean, I'm in the Pacific Northwest, so it's going to be raining less as we continue on into like the later months. So I'm definitely going to be going outside and hiking a lot more.
Yeah. I think about that too with the EMFs and all the other terrible things that screens, like just in general socially, but also I think from what I do, just thinking about vision, eyes always converging. There's so many things that this is detrimental for. And I think what people need is literally to go on a hike every few days, go up on a hike, leave your phones or go walk on a trail, just go outside in the nature, look at birds with your eyes going from one direction to the other, look around at your surroundings. And this kind of, again, like us reminding ourselves to be one with the earth, just always goes back to that. So
important. And you know, you brought looking close versus looking far. I was actually doing an assessment on this guy's house. It was up on the hill in the Salt Lake and overlooked the whole valley. I mean, it was the most amazing view. And he said one of the driving forces to get him up there is he had done a lot of studies and research that shows when you have a broad view like that, it totally expands your consciousness, expands your mind. It makes you more happy, produces endorphins, versus if you're in like a little room, like say isolation room where all you can see is 2 or 3 feet in front of you, that can be very depressing and very damaging for you. So to have that expanded view, to be able to look out far, there's a lot to that.
Even I think about Manhattan and buildings and how that lowers the peripheral vision of people. And then when you go there, you can feel it. People are very angry. People are in a rush. The vibe is very different than when you're going to a hike in Arizona, let's just say. So I don't know. What you do with this stems so much to people's health, and it's a big piece of the puzzle. And I think it's really missing. Just people aren't talking as much about this as they should be, whether it comes to EMFs or water or all these chemicals. Just understanding that what you put on your body, what you bathe in, all these things, like it matters.
Totally matters. Yeah. And another thing that people don't think a lot about is lighting. Lighting and circadian rhythm is so important to our body and our sleep cycles. For thousands of years, we've developed on this planet where our eyes have tracked the sun, and that's how our sleep cycle is created. When the sun goes down, we see those red hues, and that cues our body to start producing melatonin. And in the past, all we saw was candles and fires, and it's that warm, natural glow. Well, now what's happened is the lights go down, and then we turn on all these artificial lights. We turn on the TV, we turn on the screens, and it's all this blue light. It's this bright blue light. And so it's tricking our body to think, oh, wait, it's the middle of the day. I shouldn't be sleeping right now. I shouldn't be producing melatonin. And so if I'm on technology, if I'm watching a movie, it's hard for me to get to sleep after I watch that movie.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes I'll fall asleep during the movie, but if I'm on my phone or if I'm doing things or working late, then I go lay in bed. It takes a while to kind of unwind and, and tone down. So it's really important that once the sun goes down, to only have lights that have the reddish and the orange, the really warm colors. Don't use the blue lights, the bright, cool white lights. Those are really bad for the circadian rhythm and for your eyes in general. And so, and also tone those lights down at least an hour or two before bed. Make sure you only have maybe a couple mood lamps going, really low lighting, really important.
I love salt lamps. They're the best.
Yes. Perfect.
And also try to get that blue light like early in the day, correct?
That's right. Also so that would be the opposite. Yeah. During the day is when we want the blue light, the full spectrum of light. That's what triggers our body and the brighter lights too. If you want to help wake up more, go outside, wake up and go outside and get that natural sunlight, that full spectrum. And that's going to help keep your body. You know, if you've ever spent a day at the lake or a day at the beach, you always sleep so good after that. You come home and just crash out. It's because your body has been awake for so long. And now you're going back into the dim. And it's that differential of not only color, but the lumen level or the brightness of the light. And that's what triggers our body to really start. And when we sleep good, that's when our bodies are repairing, when you're healing. You guys are in the fitness, you know, that's when our bodies are building muscle and burning fat and doing all the important things is when we're sleeping. So it's really critical to have that really solid sleep time.
Totally. Yeah. There's so many actionable items from this podcast. Yeah. I love it.
It's really awesome. And if people want, like you mentioned in the beginning where you're doing this, where are you testing people's homes? But if people want, I know I'm going to link your website, but what states are you in?
So right now, Idaho, Arizona, Utah, Southern California, and we're starting to expand out a little bit into Texas, into the Austin area. We're getting a lot of work there, but really we're getting calls from around the country. And so really more for, instead of work, we need to find more workers. I'm looking to hire a couple of people.
That's awesome.
Who was the other person that you did? Was he one of your colleagues or coworkers that was in that story? In Austin?
Yeah. I've spent the last year training him up and he's really, really good. He's a really smart guy and he can do them out on his own now, but a lot of times we'll do the bigger ones together. That home was a little bigger. It took both of us 8 hours on that home. So these inspections are no joke. They take a lot of time because we're very detail oriented. We're going through every single one of these categories with a fine tooth comb throughout the whole house.
Wow. Well, when I buy my first home, you're going to be there. You're going to be there before I buy it, actually.
That's the best time to inspect. Because if we find something wrong, that's the time when you want to know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. I think if you ever got business out in New York, it would be a gold mine for you because it would be a lot. But I mean, in other places, cities and stuff, but I'm sure it's really hard with it in cities.
It is hard because we don't have the answers that I want to give because I can't just tell everyone to move out in the country.
Right.
It's not feasible for a lot of people. And sometimes the solutions, it's like, what's pick the better bad, you know?
Right.
And that's really what we have to do.
Yeah. Well, hopefully as you continue to do it and you continue to see people's success, you can kind of, you know, think of more creative ways to get people that are in cities and like, you know, their lives are there and changing that isn't going to, you know, be the solution necessarily. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that's why we try to just focus on what's the big impact things that we can change and let's not worry about the stuff we can't change. And then that goes in all areas of our life. You know, let's focus on the stuff we can actually do something about. And a lot of times when it comes to people's illness, it's not just one or two things. It's that perfect storm. It's that combination. It's the mold. And then I ate some horrible food. And then I got in a fight with my spouse and I'm stressed and all these things together. And then the virus comes along and then I got sick. And now it's this perfect storm because our bodies are actually pretty strong and pretty vibrant and being able to repair and heal, but we have to give it the right tools. We have to give it the right environment. We have to prep our mind properly. We have to be moving our body. We have to be putting good food, air, and water in our bodies and good thoughts in our mind. All these things are so important to do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you're saying earlier, it's about the weakest link and you know, your links get weaker, the more terrible things you're doing from different angles. So that's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We actually had one more question for you. So we ask all of our guests this, and I'm excited to hear your answer. What is something that you do every day to move your brain, move your body, or both?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I try to do red light therapy.
Oh, cool.
You know, I do in the summertime, we definitely do a lot of mountain biking and hiking in the trails where we're at. And then in the wintertime, we do a lot of snow skiing. For the mind, you know, I try to listen to podcasts. You know, the business itself, running a business, I think is taxing enough on the mind, and having kids. But I think having kids and having a business checks off a lot of those boxes, keeping everything busy. But yeah, I think just learning and always growing and getting outside and doing new things and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, I think is really important to me. And always being positive, being happy, enjoying and being grateful for the things that we have, mm-hmm. and noticing those things and really bringing those to the forefront really helps me a lot.
That's awesome. What a great answer. That is so cool. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast and enlightening us with information that nobody's ever talked about on here before. So,
well, great. Thank you so much for having me. And it's nice to meet you too. This has been great.
You as well. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast. Join in every week as we release new episodes.
Subscribe or leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts. If you have questions or topics to cover, please email moveyourbb@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @moveyourbb.